1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. John Rahm has won the Masters at Augusta National, snagging a coveted green jacket for the first time in his golf career.
Rahm wins the Masters Marathon.
That call on CBS. Rahm finished 12 under par today, just four strokes ahead of both Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka, who tied for second.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The faithful flooded St. Peter's Square at the Vatican today for Easter Mass.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, Cristo è risorto.
Dear brothers and sisters, Christ is risen.
Through an interpreter there, Pope Francis offered prayers to both Ukraine and Russia and praised nations that welcome refugees. The 86-year-old is still recovering from bronchitis. The legal battle over abortion pills will likely hit the nation's highest court next. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
In Texas, a judge has suspended approval of mifepristone, but a judge in Washington state ruled access to the drug must continue in 17 states. So what happens next? Carlos Chapman is a law professor at Washington and Lee.
It inherently creates what we call a circuit split, and it's when a court from one jurisdiction in the federal system contradicts another case in the federal system. We can't let that stand, which kind of means it has to go to the Supreme Court.
Two lawmakers are still slamming expulsions from their elected positions in the Tennessee legislature. Former state rep Justin Jones on NBC's Meet the Press.
What we saw was a system of political hubris. This was not just an attack on us, but it was an attempt to silence our districts, predominantly black and brown districts who no longer have representation. 78,000 people in each of our districts do not have a voice, do not have someone to deal with their constituent relations.
They were protesting for more gun control on the state house floor last week. Justin Pearson could be reappointed tomorrow. Also on the program, Trump's attorney, James Trustee, who blasted the former president's indictment and some other charges he's facing.
The common denominator, whether you're talking about New York, Georgia, or DOJ, is differential treatment for President Trump than anybody in history.
Police say three people died in a shooting this morning in Orlando, Florida. WKMG-TV's Jerry Askin is there.
Joanne Capel lives next door and heard the gunshots.
I didn't get the phone in time. I looked up, she texted me, called the police, he's shooting.
She said one of the victims inside the house actually reached out to her for help before she died, but it was sadly too late.
And I'm kind of upset that even though I called the police, I still couldn't help her. That was the sweetest lady you ever want to meet.
This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Matt, you've got to get those speakers fixed.
I know. Every song I play in my car sounds like sea turtles bumping into each other at an underwater dance party.
Did you know the experts at Napa Auto Parts can get you new car door speakers and walk you through how to replace them?
Be right back. All fixed.
This is what you were listening to?
With nearly 6,000 Napa Auto Parts stores and over 17,000 Napa Auto Care Centers, Napa is the fuel that helps drivers like you and yodeling lovers like me get up and go.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with a low of 46. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High of 69. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 45. Turning warmer Tuesday and Wednesday with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Ah!
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this April 9th session, something, something-ish. We're going to stop doing that.
Stop it.
Your host and program director here, James, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth. Seth, the mics are on. Ready to roll?
Yes, we are ready. I'm putting on my producer's hat because we have yet another musical guest joining us today, and I couldn't be more excited.
We asked the best audience in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage Jordan Bain, local singer, songwriter, lead singer of the band Save Point, and former Juop member, I believe. So we've got Jordan here with us. Jordan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
I want to get into, you know, like we do with this show, ask you your origin story and talk about that. Before we do, I wanted to send you a special shout out that I did already on the air back at FRM Fest. Just don't know if I got a chance to tell you personally. I emceed FRM Fest the last couple of years, and last year was not able to go through the whole run. Seth was luckily there to do great work. You and Save Point started the whole thing. Well, the second band up. They're the kids up there singing and everything. I thought they did a great job. That was really cool.
Yeah.
During the those that attended FRM Fest, and there was a lot of people this year, knew that we got hit by a ton of rain.
Right.
Like it was just soaking. It was like Seattle kind of stuff and everything. I have to ask if this was planned or not, because Jordan and the gang go up there. Everybody turns and is looking at you guys and immediately start off. You didn't say anything, just the opening guitar of No Rain. And it was so perfect. I've been to a million shows, man, and I've never seen somebody like kind of a, I don't know if you adapted to the moment or if it was just in the playlist already, but it was such a cool moment.
I am very surprised that my band of artsy, creative-minded fellows did not put those pieces together that you just did, but that was that was actually completely on accident.
Really?
That was
just
going to be our opening song.
Awesome.
There you go.
Perfect.
Happy accident.
Yeah. That is perfect. Yeah. Let's get into your origin story, Jordan. Tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. Well, I've been playing the guitar since I was about 17 or so. The last time I was on your program, about 2 years ago, my brother very nicely pointed out to me that I kind of made it sound like I learned music in an echo chamber, like my own little bubble, like I was just self-taught and learned from no one. And so I thought, I'm going to take today as an opportunity to kind of give a shout out to who I learned from. So I my first band was called Maybe Tomorrow, and then we changed it to Know Tomorrow, K-N-O-W, like you have to know what's coming tomorrow.
Ah, nice.
Because, you know, that's really deep when you're 19.
The teenager's name.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And so my friend Miles was the guitar player in that band, and he's been a great friend, and he taught me a lot on the guitar back then. So we were a hard rock band. Then some years went by, and that friend was recovering from addiction and going through rehab and everything like that. And I had just come off of a big breakup. And so he and I got together and played some acoustic tunes together that were about his recovery from addiction and my recovery from heartbreak. And they blended to just this beautiful music. And we were called Basement Sound Project.
Nice.
And we sounded like Alice in Chains, more or less. So that was good music, but it was all sad and depressing. And we tried to gig around a little bit, but like we had no idea what we were doing. So the one gig I got us up here in this area, because I was from Illinois originally, and that's where he's from. But I had moved up here, and the one gig I got us up here, I didn't pay attention to who we were opening for. And we were playing our music, and all these kids out in the audience just looked at us like, what are you doing? Who are these guys? They were not into us at all. And we found out that we were opening, remember, sad songs,
right?
Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
We were in fact opening for a ska band. These kids were ready to ska out and just dance and kick their feet to the trumpets. You know, they wanted trumpets.
Yeah.
There were no trumpets in our band.
Major skanking going on.
Oh, that's awesome.
So anyway, so that lasted for a while, and then I've learned from some other friends. So in more recent years, I started a family. I'm married. I have two young children. Thank you. My son's about to be 6. My daughter is 2.
God, those are fun ages.
When
you don't have to be the parent.
Yeah, when
of
I'm
those.
Not.
Well,
yes, you would.
Yeah,
okay.
It's lots of work, lots of time, but it's very, very gratifying.
Yeah.
And So, yeah, I entered a phase of life where I was ready to not be sad anymore. I was like, oh, I think I'm happy now. I think I could play happy music. And I decided to just try to start maybe just a happy cover band with some buddies. Mm-hmm. And that's what turned into Save Point. My friends Jason, Dane, and Kyle got together. And what started as just kind of having fun in the basement has turned into a pretty cool thing where we write music together now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That is really cool. Yeah. Like oftentimes happens in these conversations, no matter who we're talking to, mental health comes up. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about there is rewiring your brain. Mm-hmm. And it sounds a lot deeper than it actually, I think, is. It's repetition. It's mm-hmm. okay, I went through a similar thing where mm-hmm. at a certain point I was like, I'm just tired of always being this moody, grumpy guy. Like, I want to be different. I don't want my kids to grow up that way. I don't want them to see that in me and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you start working on this stuff, looking for positives, looking for, you know, things to hang your hat on, if you will. And, yeah. and before you know it, your brain just starts to automatically do that mm-hmm. to now where I can't help but see silver linings and even the most darkest of things. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. And I think it's always a good thing to note from every different field that we can talk to about this. So that is really cool, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Was the guitar the first instrument you picked up?
Yes, the guitar was. I do play other instruments now. I can play the drums. Back in my band, when everyone would take a smoke break, I didn't smoke. So I would jump behind the drummer's drum kit and started just figuring it out on my own.
Wow.
And then I have to make sure I didn't learn everything on my own. And then I would take lessons from him. He would give me pointers.
Right.
And I can, you know, if you can play the guitar, you can play bass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then my son plays the drums as well, which is really cool.
So, that's awesome.
Since he was 1 year old, everything was a drum set to him. No matter what toy you gave him, it turned into drums. He was just obsessed with drumming. So we've been fostering that, and now he's a pretty incredible drummer as well.
Right on.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing the thing that my godson, Cole, he always loved, you know, dinosaurs and Legos and all this. And then one day I go over there and he's got a guitar. And I'm like, oh, you're taking guitar lessons? I'm like, no. And he's just teaching it himself. Mm-hmm. He's doing like open mics over in the bars here now and stuff. Like he's playing. He's amazing too. He's just completely like, if you get him young like that, you know, you really can have an opportunity. It doesn't matter if they turn into a professional musician. Mm-hmm. It's such a great activity for them to have. It's absolutely something cool for them to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to influences, Jordan, what are some of your broader influences, some of your more local or close to you influences?
Sure. When I play solo, I tend to lean into things like the White Stripes, the Beatles. You need to play cover songs when you're playing around bars in central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But I can't stomach most new country music, I have to admit. Most. Mm-hmm. There's some that I really like. Chris Stapleton I like a lot. But I tend to lean into old country, so I play Hank Williams Sr. and Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash. And
right on.
I like the old country western before they all had a fake southern drawl, even if you're from, you know, Australia something.
It bugged me. When it comes to that influence, you mentioned your brother a little bit earlier and stuff. Mm-hmm. Are there any like family influences? So were there people growing up that were musicians?
Thank you for asking. Yes, that gives me a good chance to give some shout outs. So my parents were children of the 60s. So my mom, who is amazing and is very musical herself, I think, and my dad played the guitar as well. So my dad could play classical guitar and blues guitar and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And my mom loves Simon and Garfunkel, the Mamas and the Papas, all that good stuff from the 60s. And then my brother, so I was born in 83. I'm going to be 40 this year, which is
join the club.
Big
yes,
one.
Yes. Yep. We welcome you to the club.
We welcome you. Yep. So I was born in 83. My brother's a little bit older than me. So all the 80s music is deeply saturated in me, and not so much. We weren't hair metal fans. We liked Depeche Mode,
yes,
and Tears for Fears,
yes,
and
right. There's no shame in that.
No, there isn't. None. I feel none. It was, yes, it was excellent. Yes, I listen to it now.
Yeah, so, same. I actually just went down like a Depeche Mode like rabbit hole the other day. Yeah,
yeah, good stuff. In Excess, you know, all the 80s jams for sure.
So. I maintain that In Excess is still underrated. Like, I genuinely think that. I think that they're just an amazing band. Yeah, they're amazing. Good stuff, man. So now I kind of want to go a little bit different direction with you, sure, Jordan. Do you remember your first concert?
My first concert was probably with my first show in front of people was a house party with my first band. So that band I mentioned back in Freeport, Illinois, we were called Maybe Tomorrow. And we would have these house parties with a bunch of other teenagers, and we were there was beer. There shouldn't have been beer, but there was beer there, and we were loud. So at that point, that was really heavy music, and that's when nu metal was popular.
Oh yeah.
And they wanted me to scream like the nu metal guys, so they would say, you know, what, scream like the guy from Korn, and I'd say, well, my voice does not do that. But we also like Nirvana a lot, so Nirvana was the first band I learned guitar on, because there were very simple chords.
Mm-hmm.
But that first show, that first house party show, and those first shows we had would be a bunch of kids doing a little mosh pit where it's really just like five drunken angry guys hitting each other in front of you while you played, and looking at you and screaming the lyrics back to you with great intensity. And and what I just remember about that is all that is the teenagers being crazy. And I also remember being very naive, because there was a girl that we called the emo girl, who would stand and stare at us with her arms crossed, very moody, and she had, you know, lip piercings and moody hair hanging her face, arms crossed, just staring at you with a scowl on her face. Mm-hmm. And I thought, she hates us, but she would stand and stare at us the whole time. She wasn't leaving. And then when the show would be over, she would be like, "You guys were amazing."
You just never know.
What about the first concert you went to?
First concert that I went to. Again, I'm going to date myself here, and show the music that I was into back then. But I was an angry young man, so I think the first concert I went to was Disturbed.
Okay.
All right.
And Drowning Pool, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Yes, I remember.
Because I was just so filled with anger, but that's all gone now.
when it comes to that first concert you saw, how much did that, and just concert going as a fan goes, how much does that influence you? How much do you learn from other artists when it comes to you on stage?
Yeah, in recent years, I've learned a lot more for sure, because as I've played with my band Save Point, figuring out how to not only be have a good sound, but to be good performers is something that has dawned on me, because when I was young, I had long hair. My hair would hang in my face and hide my face, and I would just kind of hunch over and scream the lyrics or whatever. But now we're trying to have a good time, and we want people to have a good time and party and dance. And so becoming good performers has been a thing I've learned a lot about. So recent years, I've seen bands like Weezer, for example, who... That was very informative to me, because Rivers Cuomo, the singer from Weezer, is a nerd like me. Mm-hmm. I'm an awkward nerd. I have glasses. I'm a dad. I'm not cool, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So Rivers was informative to me, because he's a nerd, and yet they put on a fantastic show, and he's charismatic.
Right on. That's cool. I think there's some of that we all take in our industries from certain people, especially if we find a relatability to them. That is good. That's some good stuff right there. That's a good place to stop right there.
Let's take a break right here, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back shortly, and we'll hear some music from Jordan here on Director's Cut.
campus is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Director's Cut here with Seth and James. We're welcoming in Jordan Bain. Jordan's going to take the WFHR stage.
This is a song I wrote called A Place I Once Called Home.
My city, she sleeps so sound and deep under the stars, and the everlasting gaze of corvine eyes and the hyenas cackling call. Oh, how they call and call and call. My city, she screams, come into me, her ports are free. And I think that you will never ever find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. Oh, villainy. And every crack now a chasm. Whoa, and every flaw I never saw. I put her petal so high up on a pedestal. So high, so far for you to fall. Oh, how I hate to watch you fall, but it's not my call. My city, she bleeds. Is it her that has changed, or is it me? I once wanted nothing more than to return back to her womb. I once called home. She was a place I once called home. I once called home. She was a place I once home. But no, not anymore.
This is a White Stripes song. It's called Apple Blossom.
Hey, little apple blossom, what seems to be the problem? You tell your troubles to, they don't really care for you. Come and tell me what you're thinking, 'cause just when the boat is sinking, a little light is blinking, and I will come and rescue you. Lots of girls walk around in tears, but that's not for you. You've been looking all around for years for someone to tell your troubles to. Come and sit with me and talk a while. Let me see your pretty little smile. Put your troubles in a little pile, and I will throw them out for you. All right. La-da-da-da-da-da. La-da-da-da-da-da. but that's not for you. You've been looking all around for years for someone to tell your troubles to. Come and sit with me and talk a while. Let me see your pretty little smile. Put your troubles in a little pile, and I will throw them out for you. I'll fall in love with you. I think I'll marry you.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Jordan Baden, local singer, songwriter, lead singer of the band Save Point, with us right now. Jordan, thank you first for playing those songs. Those were great. Going back to the first song you played, you had a line in there. Did my city change or did I? That is an excellent line, my man. That is a beautiful line. Thanks. How did that form?
Yeah, so that song, the lyrics are old to that. They're about 13 years old, actually. But I put a new spin on it. So the notes I'm playing and the tempo I'm playing at is sort of an upbeat, maybe bluegrassy kind of vibe. But when I wrote it a long time ago, I had gone through a big breakup, and I was saying goodbye to an unhealthy relationship with another person. And then also I had moved away from the city that I grew up in, which I would come back to that city to visit friends. And when I would come back, it just seemed so sad to me when I would go back home. It didn't feel like a happy place to me anymore. And so that song is kind of drawing a parallel between the place I once called home was mm-hmm. her,
yeah,
and it was that city.
I like that.
And so it's saying goodbye to both of them and asking, yeah, have I just grown and changed? Were they always this way, and mm-hmm. I just didn't see them this way? Mm-hmm. There's a line in there that says, every crack is now a chasm,
yeah.
and every flaw I never saw. It's saying, you know, what seemed fine to me before doesn't seem mm-hmm. fine to me okay anymore.
So. I want to put our focus in this segment on the writing process. And what is your writing process like?
Sure, yeah, I usually... they kind of get blended together. So lyrical ideas pop into my head. Sometimes it's just one line, or it's a concept for a song. So like that one, drawing a parallel between my city and a relationship I had and saying goodbye to them was probably an idea that popped into my head. And just one or two lyrics usually is all it takes mm-hmm. to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, there's something there, and it might be the verse, it might be the chorus. But the lyrics oftentimes don't have a melody to them. It's just words, wordplay, or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then riffs happen separately. Riffs mm-hmm. are me sitting and doodling with my guitar at home, and I come up with a cool chord progression. And then anytime I have an ability... that anytime a riff is played, I can come up with a vocal melody for that just seems like it should be there. Hmm. So sometimes when I write with my band, that's how it happens. One of them has a riff, and I'll just start bebopping or scatting yeah. over mm-hmm. the
guide vocal, yeah.
or nonsense words. Yeah. I like oranges or whatever.
Yeah.
over the words.
Scrambled eggs, right?
yeah.
Yep.
So
rhubarb.
So the writing process is like, okay, over here is a lyric book with just lots of song ideas. And over here is someone coming up with a riff, whether it's me or someone I'm working with. Then I am singing the vocal melody. Then you look back in your lyric book to go, okay, what song idea fits this riff? Mm. Is this a sad riff, happy riff, rock and roll riff? And I just kind of turn the pages of my lyric book, or these days I keep the lyrics in digital format. But yeah. yeah. And then you just kind of layer those words and structure the words so that they fit within that.
That is a crazy, interesting process, man. I as long as I've been writing, I will come up sometimes with good characters, but I have no story for them. Mm-hmm. Or I have a story, but I don't have any depth to it yet. Mm-hmm. And I put it away and I come back to it or whatever. I've always been interested about the songwriting process because of the combination of lyrics and sound and mm-hmm. the notes that have to go along with mm-hmm. it. To hear that breakdown is really cool to me, and to see it almost feels like both hemispheres working together, kind of, for you.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody got a chance to see it, but they had that Get Back documentary about the Beatles
so
recently,
good.
And it made me just extraordinarily happy to see. I went, the way that Paul McCartney
write songs.
Yep.
Is literally how I write songs, and I had felt like this universal connection grow within me. I'm like,
right.
Because I saw him do it. He would play the piano. He'd be like, he would like get the song, get back. He was, you know, Billy was a guy from Houston, something. He's just coming. He's just trying to figure out the words as he goes.
Right.
I'm like, oh, it's no different for the greats that, you know, the best that ever did it than how I do it. We're doing it the same way.
Which I thought that's immediately what I thought of, because when I mentioned Scrambled Eggs, that was the original title of Yesterday. He was using Scrambled Eggs as his guide vocal before he came up with the lyrics to, you know, the most covered song ever. So, yeah, exactly.
Right. The relatability of an artist often pulls us in, but it's always nice when we have those moments of, oh, yeah, they're just a human being like us.
Right, exactly.
Why wouldn't it be any different or anything like that? But we still need those reminders from time to time, and it's nice to have those.
I don't have to go see a guru in India
to
unlock my potential or anything like that.
That'd be expensive.
You got to find a babysitter. It's tough. It's tough.
It's hard enough. Yeah.
What was the last song you wrote?
The most recent one that I worked on with my band and I is kind of another one like I just talked about, where I actually took very old lyrics, but brought them back to life with new music and new riffs. So that's the most recent one. I'll play that one here today. But the most recent one that I wrote lyrically was talking about how the world has changed and how I'm changing, and it's called While You Were Asleep. And it's kind of talking about how while you were asleep, this boy became a man. While you were asleep, the world continued to turn. While you were asleep, the poop has hit the fan. I don't say poop in the song.
We figured that. Yeah.
Probably a good lyrical choice.
But yeah, and
even though, you know, you have a 6-year-old, so it would be okay actually. But
And so it's just talking about, it's again another song drawing parallels. It's like talking about the world is changing and I'm changing, you know, that kind of stuff.
What song was the, you know, off the top of your head, I suppose, what song was the most difficult to write and why?
I don't think, I have found that if a song is difficult to write, it's usually not the right song. So, and that ethos, I think I heard Freddie Mercury maybe, or somebody like that, had a similar idea where he said, okay, if we get in the studio and the song's not coming together in this amount of time, just put it aside. Like, because you know when something's right, it just goes fast, it goes easy. If you're really having to work at it, I've found that those aren't my favorite songs usually. They are forced for a reason, because they weren't quite right to begin with.
Yeah.
So if that happens, I'm just curious, does that, I mean, can you still save something from that, you know, that process that you might use later?
Yeah.
You know, just like a bit or like one line or even just a little riff or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. It can sit there dormant for years, and then one day what didn't make sense before could make sense to you now, or it's retooled. For sure,
nice.
Just to wrap the segment up here, one of the other things that I find really cool about music, but also it would feel like as a musician maddening, how to end a song. Like, I find an art in that. You know, there's, I think we can all think of off the top of our head songs that we love, but we don't like how it ends, or songs that we're not huge fans of, but that last ending. There's an artist, Kurt Vile, I really like, and it seems like he's a great guitar player, and it feels like at the end of every one of his songs, he's kind of just playing stuff, and I'm sure he was just playing the music out, but it's some of my favorite parts of his songs is like the last fade out, the last 30 seconds and stuff. And I find that really interesting. How do you end, does it end itself? You know, how does that work?
That question's kind of a good segue into. So the guys I'm playing with are really into jam bands. They like the Grateful Dead. They like Goose. Some of these bands where the songs can be, you know, 10 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a joke that one of us shared with each other recently where they say, jam bands are just a bunch of dads or old guys who don't know when to end the song. And he said, and one of them wants to end the song. One of them's looking at him like, okay, bump, bump, right? Yeah. No, we're going to keep going.
Stretch.
And then you're just soloing in the solo, and so many solos, and they just keep going. So So that's an issue. So that's a like a thing within the band where it's like, okay, is this song going to be a jam band song where we play it forever? But ending it, other than that, that's kind of like a, just a chord progression thing that you figure out over time where you go, okay. I tend to lean more towards the Beatles end of the spectrum where they were in and out.
Yeah.
And they didn't let you get sick of the song.
Yeah.
It ended right when it should.
Well said.
You enjoyed it, and now it's done.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I find a little irony in there, and I mean this in the best sense, because you, to me, you kind of look like Trey Anastasio. You have a little look going on, like funny. Him. So
yeah. I'll take that as a compliment.
That's a compliment. That's good. We want to wrap here? Okay, we'll wrap here. We'll come back, and Jordan's going to take the WFHR stage again, have some music for you on Director's Cut.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats that make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake, and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with a low of 46. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High of 69. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 45. Turning warmer Tuesday and Wednesday with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Welcome back, everyone, to Director's Cut. Tonight, we are hanging back with Jordan Bain, and once again, he is going to play us a few tunes.
This is an original song called Till Kingdom Come.
Again, just when our hope was lost, she came into my world. My seas are blue, your earth are green, simple and sweet, just like a dream. The setting sun, I cannot run. This smoking gun, you are the one. I give you the sum of all my love, of all my love, till kingdom come. Now all those yesterdays have vanished in a haze, old memories now obscured by the beauty of today. Some days I'll save you on my steed, and some days I'll tie you to the tracks. Oh, but you know that when your feet begin to bleed, I'll carry your weight upon my back. The setting sun, I cannot run. This smoking gun, you are the one. I give you the sum of all my love, of all my love till kingdom come. Now is there really a one, or even such a thing as love? Or was it simply just that I was far too young, naive and dumb? Where does my puzzle piece fit in the seas of life and where I swim? Search for the island where I'll stay, but could she be the setting sun? I cannot run this smoking gun. You are the one, I will be done. I give you the sum of all my love, of all my love till kingdom come.
Okay, here's a song made famous by the Beatles and more recently covered by the Broken Bells. It's called And I Love Her.
I give her all my love. That's all I do. And if you saw my love, you'd love her too. And I love her. She gives me everything and tenderly. The kiss my lover brings, to me, and I love her. A love like ours would never die. As long as I have you near me, bright are the stars that shine, dark is the sky. I know this love of mine will never die. And I love her. Bright are the stars that shine. Oh, dark is the sky. I know this love of mine will never die. And I love her.
So this is a lullaby that I sing to my kids at night. It's an old Scottish ancestral song. It's called Dream Angus.
Can you know hush? You're crying. Faintly the echoes dying. Hush ye, my baby, and sleep without fear. Dream Angus has brought you a dream, my dear. Dreams to sell, find dreams to sell. Angus is waiting with dreams to sell. So hush ye, my baby, and sleep without fear. Dream Angus has brought you a dream, my dear. Can you no hush your weeping? All of the beasties are sleeping. Birdies are nesting and nesting together. My bonny burn lies o'er the heather. Dreams to sell, find dreams to sell. Angus is waiting with dreams to sell. So hush ye, my baby, sleep without fear. Dream Angus has brought you a dream, my dear. Dream Angus has brought you a dream, my dear.
Seth and James here with you. We have Jordan Baden sitting back with us. Been really enjoying the concert that Seth and I have been able to enjoy here.
We are so lucky.
We are so being spoiled, brother. This is awesome. I have to have a couple questions that I want to wrap up with you, Jordan, and of course ones that we always ask our guests. First up, do you have any pre-show rituals?
I have been trying to get those going more so with my band, where we have like a little powwow or something like that. Currently, we usually need to set up our own sound gear. The bass player, Dane, has been so gracious as to take on the lion's share of that duty, where he's our sound guy. So usually this setup is so frantic, and we don't want to always give our whole day to the gig. So by the time we get there and get set up, ideally we just want to leave enough time that we can all maybe grab a beer and breathe and say hi to each other and not be rushing to the last second. But a lot of times we are rushing up to the last second, and we've found that that is not ideal, because then you tend to be a little bit more tense when you're about to start. So the best pre-show ritual is just to be able to have a minute to breathe and not, you know, just look around at the place, look at the people, take in the scene and the ambiance. And I used to, when I started doing this, I would get really nervous. So usually my pre-show ritual is to go to the bathroom.
right on.
And be in there for a while.
Yeah.
But now I've, when you do anything enough, it becomes routine. So it's like showing up for work. So I don't get so nervous anymore. So at least I don't have to spend my whole pre-show in the bathroom anymore.
That's nice. Bathroom, not a great green room.
Right, not a great green room.
But the acoustics now.
There you go. You mentioned being the scene, the ambiance of things and everything. That leads me perfectly to this next question. If you could play on any stage, any venue, Madison Square Garden, Madison, Wisconsin, Red Rocks, any of these things, is there anything that pops in your head? You don't have to have just one answer.
Sure. Yeah, Red Rocks definitely comes to mind. That's such a cool place. I think my band has said that to each other. Like, if we ever get there, it's like, okay, we made it, we can call it a day and say we did it. But it's funny, the goalpost always keeps moving. So I can remember that when I started playing with my band, when we played at Sunset Point Winery in downtown Stevens Point, like the first time, we were over the moon. Mm. Just over the moon. Yeah. And we went to the bar together and like, man, I'm just so happy, man. I'd never, some of the guys, I had played in other bands, but some of my bandmates hadn't had that experience before and they were just so happy. And then they said, okay, one day, someday we can play at on the stage at Piffner Park, play at Stevens Point, you know, on the stage, or play in Rapids and do FRM Fest. Do one of those kinds of things, and it would be just incredible. And now we've done that, and you never go, okay, well, I'm good now. No, 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 it's not good. Now I want more, because that's the human greed, greedness, I guess. Yeah. You know.
So, what's the best advice someone gave you when you were starting out as a musician, and what kind of advice would you give to young musicians listening? It's a big part of what we like to do with this show is not only promoting and helping local artists and everything, but also helping future artists.
Mm-hmm. I would suggest people to not learn the way that I did. So I didn't learn, I still haven't truly learned proper music theory the way that you're supposed to. And that comes up sometimes in the band dynamic when some of the guys in the band are more well-versed than I am and they know the full, they can look at the neck of their instrument and they know everywhere that there's an E, an A, a D, a C. Yeah. I don't. So I know some, but not all. It's not a map. It's more like there's landmarks to me.
Right.
It's
right,
like
right.
If you say, oh, it's by the gas station. Okay, got it. So I would just suggest to most musicians to, even if it's not fun and not cool and not alluring, to try to force yourself to truly learn the roadmap of the instrument you're playing and understand why things sound good together. 'Cause when you do that, as I've only recently discovered, it does unlock quite a few possibilities of what you can do on that instrument. So I was very limited for a long time. In fact, when I got together with my band, I mentioned I had only played sad songs. My band discovered I only knew minor chords, so everything sounded sad that I wrote. And they would go, okay, well, you're playing E minor again on this song, we've noticed. And the next song, oh, it's E minor again. So I would say, just learn as much as you can about that instrument if you care to be great at it, because all the greats know what they're doing.
I think it's great advice.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Fortunate enough to get to teach and with younger students, one of the first things I'll tell them is certainly have a day job while you're chasing your dream, but also get training, get some classes in, you know, even if it's just a couple classes here or there or something. It doesn't have to be Juilliard. Just a little bit of structure can go a long way for you. When it comes, we come to this point in the conversation where we get to ask the question we ask all of our guests. It's one of our favorite parts of the show. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why? It's a tough one. We do hard hitting reporting around
yes,
here,
we
Jordan.
Do.
So we don't just leave it up there for anything. We got to ask the hard hitting questions.
I would want to meet with. I'm going to say Albert Einstein, just because, there would be a language barrier probably a little bit, but let's assume we could understand each other.
Exactly.
Perfectly.
Yes.
I think I'd probably want to pick that guy's brain. I think that'd be a good one. You probably expected me to say some kind of musician, but I'll say if we're going with someone who is actually alive today. Paul McCartney.
Right to Paul McCartney. I think that's the second one who said that.
Because he's here, he's still awesome, and he's amazing, and I would that'd be great.
Yeah.
The thing I keep coming back to is not just that he's a great musician. He would just be a great well of story. I mean, he would just be an amazing conversation. He doesn't have to do anything with music. Just listen to what he's gone through, what he's done in his life. I mean, that would be cool.
I've said it before. We were actually talking about it with Chris Lee, I think, before and everything. Yep. When I never thought about this question until I started asking other people. There's obviously a list in my head, but then I start thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, I like Bjork. I think she's a great artist. I don't have a lot of her music. But man, you know that's going to be an interesting conversation. There's no way that you just sit down and have normal coffee with Bjork. Right. It's going to be memorable.
Like, she
might just make squeaking sounds.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know, but you want to have that cup of coffee.
Oh, it's Bjork. It's Bjork.
Kind of knew what I was walking into here. Appreciate that, Jordan. Really have appreciated the time with you and everything. Before we wrap up this segment, people want to hear your music, want to see Save Point coming up. You guys got anything coming up?
Sure. Save Point is going to be playing, when this airs, we're going to be playing at Hoozles at the Lakes April 29th. We're going to be playing, if you check out our page, facebook.com/savepointband, you'll see a whole list of upcoming spring and summer shows. There's going to be a whole bunch coming up, so nice. Check us out.
Very cool. Yep. Very cool.
Very cool.
We have appreciated the time and energy from Jordan here today. This has been so much fun, man. I want to encourage you to look him up on social media, not only Jordan, but of course, Save Point. A little side note to everybody, Save Point is going to be joining us in May. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Jordan can't get rid of us. we really have had a great time today. Thank you so much to the best listeners in radio joining us. Don't forget that if you're listening to us live, you can always catch us on the podcast. And all of our stuff is at civicmedia.us.
That's very good. Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jordan.
Where have you gone again, my sweet? Everybody wants to know. Where have you gone again, my sweet? Everybody wants to know. Where will you go? Oh, I'm just a ghost, I'm on your street, waiting on the telephone. I'm just a ghost, I'm on your street, waiting when you're coming home. It's been so long, oh. So where will you go?
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
to love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.